Blog Talk Radio.
Do you lie awake at night wishing for something better? When you look at your future a year from now, is there a light at the end of that tunnel? Do you feel like you were meant for something more? Opportunity will not come knocking on your door unless you're out there looking for it. How do you do it? Our guests on the Empower Radio Show will be sharing their secret to success. We'll be bringing you authors, speakers, entrepreneurs from many different fields who come from various backgrounds. They will be sharing their stories of success and of early failures. You'll hear about the challenges they faced when they launched their ideas and the creative ways that they overcame obstacles. Our guests will inspire you to find your way down the path to success in this ever-changing world. Jump on board and become empowered.
Welcome to Empower Radio Show. Thanks so much for joining me today. This is Linda Baez-Stevens, and I am your host today. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm always honored when you spend some time with us because, you know, time is that one commodity that you just can't get back. So when you spend time with someone, be sure to honor them by saying thank you. And that's what I'm doing today, saying thank you very much for joining us. I want to encourage you to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, Empower Radio Show, and it's a little tricky. It's the letter M, the word power, radio show, and you'll find all the links to our previous guests, and we've had some great guests talk about how to empower your life or talk about some of the tools that they've used to empower their life, whether it's in business or in life, either way. And I know many of you are entrepreneurs out there. And being an entrepreneur is not for the faint at heart, I always say. And we need more personal development, more spiritual strength, if you will. We need to build up that belief muscle, I believe, more than anyone that actually has an 8-to-5 job. Now, don't send me hate mail because I've had the 8-to-5 job. And I tell you, folks, being out there on my own has been much more challenging. And I've had to dig a lot deeper than I ever did before. And that's where today's guest comes from. And she's going to be able to provide us with an insight, a spiritual insight, in maybe overcoming some obstacles. Today's guest is Octavia Brooks, and she is a non-denominational reverend. So that's Reverend Octavia Brooks. And she has over 20 years experience in earth-based and New Age background, and her passion is to inspire, motivate, and support healers, practitioners, counselors, and all givers so they can stay healthy and happy in their service. And you know, this is not just the metaphysical community that we're talking about. Certainly healers and practitioners, they need to take care of themselves. But I also noticed that as a coach or a mentor, there is a certain amount of energy exchange and that happens, and you get personally involved in the other person's business and personal life. So if you are a coach or a mentor, then this is for you as well. Now, while she overcame early childhood and health challenges, she learned powerful shamanic healing techniques. And I think you're going to hear some of that today, and that you will be able to walk away with and help you. Maybe if you're feeling run down, or maybe you're feeling overwhelmed, or you just need a shot of energy, so to speak. I believe you're going to get that from today's show. So help me in welcoming Reverend Octavia Brooks. Welcome, Reverend Octavia.
Hi, Linda. It is such a privilege to be here on your show. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, most definitely. And I tell you, you heard me say in the intro that I believe a lot of us are living in overwhelm, and we're always needing that extra boost of energy. Now, how did you get involved in working as a or becoming a non-denominational pastor here? Because that's not the typical route. That's not the traditional route that most women, especially, might take. What drew you to this?
Well, Linda, I've always been interested in spirituality, especially since my early 20s. And there was a man in the household, a group household I lived in, who got me really intrigued about starting my own personal development. And I started out at the Berkeley Psychic Institute. He used to take me around to all the different psychic institutes in Berkeley to their free healing nights. And I picked one that I got a really good vibe from. It was just really fun checking out all the different schools. But that's where I began learning the energy healing meditation. I got introduced to those concepts in my early 20s. And then after taking a couple of classes, my own personal guidance kicked in, and they said, stop doing that method. And they showed me the energy healing meditation that I'm using today, which I'm going to give you all a little sample of that later on in a guided meditation. And it's what I use all the time, constantly, for all these years to rejuvenate myself. So it's a pretty... You know, it's simple. It's a simple visualization, but it really keeps me centered. So that was way back when, and pretty soon in that same time frame, I came across a pagan priestess, a high pagan priestess, a Wiccan priestess, and I began to study with her. And what that means is studying with the elements, so earth, air, fire, and water, and with many different gods and goddesses from all across many different traditions. And that's when I really started beginning to speak with spirits and became a spirit medium. And I was in a coven for 7 years, and I led many public ceremonies. And in 2002, I was ordained in a pagan temple called Magic. And in the last 7 years, I've really been studying a lot of different tribal traditions. I've been going into mediumship, studying with leaders from Peru, Brazil, and the Native American Church, and also getting more comfortable with Christianity. Unlike a lot of people who were raised with Christianity, I'm coming to it later in life, so it gives me a different perspective. And while I have a shamanic toolkit, I prefer to use the term reverend, because traditionally shamans have to go through a near-death experience as an initiation, and I'm not really signing up for that necessarily, although I've had a lot of spiritual deaths and rebirths. I'm not really sure I want to be hovering above my body necessarily anytime soon.
Yeah, it makes a great storyline for a movie, but it's not necessarily one that we want to sign up for, like you said. So, you know, it's interesting because I believe, Reverend Octavia, that we are becoming more, and everyone may not agree with this, but this is kind of what I'm perceiving, is that I believe that we are becoming more receptive to other beliefs. And the reason I say that is I just recently saw Oprah Winfrey interview a Catholic nun, and forgive me, I cannot remember her name, but she's on Super Soul Sunday. She's written like 50 books. And wow. You would think that a Catholic nun would be very, very strict in her belief. But what she says is every religion, if you think of God as the moon, every religion is just there to point to the moon. You know, every religion is there to just say, that's where we all need to go, and we're pointing there. And it's all the same purpose, but it's just being, the language is just a little bit different, if you will. So I appreciate the fact that you're saying you're even coming back around to Christianity, because you know, it's all the same. It's all about love, and it's all about getting back to God, and it's all,
yes.
you know, we're all saying the same thing, but just in different language, don't you think?
I absolutely agree. A long time ago, I called myself a mystic, and that was, I actually even wrote a paper in college about one of the Christian mystics, and that's when I started realizing that spiritual masters of all different lineages and traditions can always sit down and have a conversation with each other, because mm-hmm. we all just believe that the divine comes through our hearts, that we're all one in the divine and that creator, that God concept, and that we, there's a certain level of human wiring that we just discover in ourselves that allows us to connect at that more mystical, that deeper level that, that all humans have. We all have a way to the divine, you know, if people are interested. Not everybody has a really strong interest in it. That's another reason I call myself a reverend, is when I'm out and about, people understand my level of interest in spirituality is
sure.
really quite high.
Sure, sure. Now, do you think that I know that you've said that there you've had a journey of spiritual growth. Do you think that we change the way we look at the divine? We change the way we look at God. We change the way we look at our life as we get older. I'm 62, and I'm telling you that what I thought back in the when I was in my 20s is nothing mm-hmm. compared to what I believe today. So, mm-hmm. I mean, is it a natural transition that we should all grow in that way?
Well, for myself, the answer to that question is I feel like I've gotten richer, and some of the things I started out with the Wiccan tradition, I always have been a fan of diversity in spirituality, and because I've pursued so many different paths, I'm actually quite a dilettante. I think it's just resulted in a very broad toolkit and a way of synthesizing across all of those different traditions to the mystical level, to finding the commonalities. And so I think that's something that age gives us, is that broader perspective. We slow down a little bit. We become more tolerant, more open-minded. Boy, my mom used to accuse me of getting on the soapbox all the time when I was in college and in my 20s, and finally I did kind of loosen up about that. And so I think we get that as we get older. I like to say we're ripening. We're becoming richer people and wiser people, too. We start to have enough to share with other people, and we have to kind of turn around and mentor and foster the younger generation so that they can come into their wisdom as young as possible.
And that is a really good point, because I have thought, I've got a daughter who is in her mid-30s, and I think that the world she stepped out into as a young woman is very different than the world that I stepped out into back in the 70s. And it
For sure.
is, I love the fact that younger people have more access, and they also are becoming they're awakening much earlier. It is my perception, and it's just really mm-hmm. A very, very cool thing to see that happen. Have you seen mm-hmm. that happening in your routes as well?
Oh, gosh, I'm really enjoying the perspective of the younger generations coming along. The world is so different for them. It's a unified world. I mean, they have the internet.
Yes.
They can find out about news so rapidly from all the way across the world. So we're living in a unified world, and they take that for granted. That's their starting place. We used to have to really dig around and to try to find that type of information. So that's just one aspect. And I also find that because they have so much more access to the cross-cultural information, they have a more open mind about that, at least the ones that give me hope. And I also find that some of the younger generations they're coming in with greater spiritual gifts and talents than we've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this I feel like a lot of people I have met who had really difficult childhoods, spiritual level, you know, had those unfortunate circumstances in part to give them the gifts that were required to in order to predict the unpredictable. So in other words, you had traumatic experiences, but you were handed some psychic gifts out of that trauma. Whereas the younger generations, the younger kids, are not having to go through that type of trauma in order to have their gifts coming online. So I'm really grateful for that, that they're not having to go through that, because frankly, it slows you down a lot to have to recover from those difficulties in your childhood. So in order to access your tools, so you've got this mixed bag, whereas the younger kids are, their talents are just online, and I have a lot of hope in these younger generations in assisting us in creating a more utopian future than what I might have thought was possible.
That's a very interesting observation that you've made, is that they're not having to go through as many of the crisis, so to speak, or the you know, the personal situations, challenging situations that other generations have had to go through to acquire the same level of awakening. That's a very interesting observation there. I really like that. Now, you've talked about shamanism just a bit. For the listeners, can you explain a little bit about what that means and what that means when you say shamanism?
Sure. Yeah, and I'm hoping I'm giving a broader a definition that most shamanic practitioners would agree with. It's an approach to healing that is kind of a more tribal perspective. And tribal perspective meaning, you know, indigenous cultures see a person's illness or challenges in a with a really broad perspective. We have, medical doctors in our country who will identify a symptom and find a really particular solution to that specific symptom. Whereas an indigenous practitioner, a tribal shaman, would look at that person very holistically. They might look at the person's symptom in the context of, and did they have an argument with their wife or with their child, or are they at odds with the community they live in some way, or did they, you know, fail to make the proper offering to a god that's looking out for their lineage? So they look at imbalances in a very different way, beyond the mental, emotional, and physical level. So they see everything as a spiritual imbalance. And if you broaden your perspective to see challenges or illnesses as spiritual imbalances, then your healing toolkit has to be really completely and entirely different. So you have the toolkit is a lot about traversing different spiritual realms and looking at a person's psychic and energy body, at maybe even the cellular or subatomic particle level, and then all the way out into their broader connection with the universe and with nature. So you're trained as a shaman to look in many different areas to resolve a person's problem. And that's, for me, how it ties into the spirit mediumship. Is it okay if I talk a little bit about that, Linda, or did you want to save that for...
Yes. Okay. Go right ahead.
This is one of my favorite topics, and I'm really, really grateful that I was guided into the Wiccan path because of the exposure I got to so many different gods and goddesses and to the elements, because the way I was trained back then in my early 20s was that you would dedicate yourself to one of these elements. So, for example, dedicate yourself to a god for a year and a day. That would be the kind of the longest commitment. You could definitely get a lot out of just making a commitment for even a month. But then in that period of commitment, you would create an altar for that god. You would put all different kinds of symbols, everything you could think of that would remind you about that particular god, or maybe it was an element like the element of fire, and you would invite a closer relationship with that that God, or that deity, or with that element into your life. And every day you'd walk past that altar and you would say hi and you would make your prayer and your intention to have a closer relationship. And the world would begin to respond to you from the perspective of that element. So I think it would just be an easier example if we talked about making a dedication to, let's say, the element of air. So in the Wiccan tradition, air is associated with sound, with light, with new beginnings, with all the creatures who are in flight, so the birds, but also the fairies. And it's very mental, too. So all of those are associations with the element of air. You would build an altar to air. And then when you walked out of the house, over time, in maybe a few days, air would begin to teach you, and you would see light differently than you maybe you took light for granted before, and now all of a sudden you're noticing the light reflecting off of a beautiful surface it's just calling your attention and it's playing with you, it's interacting with you. You would notice the feeling of wind and airflow on your skin differently, whereas before you never would take notice of that. And then you might notice that your thought processes are a little bit different, that you are beginning new thought patterns and thinking habits, and you're finding that you're a little bit inspired. New thoughts are just popping into your head, and maybe you're able to actually communicate with your guides better, because air is also about communication. Maybe you notice sounds differently. So in that study of the element of air, and you go deep into that relationship with that element, then you really have established, and it really is a two-way interactive relationship with that spirit. So this is just an example of creating a relationship with a spirit or with a deity. People pray to a God or to Jesus, for example, and you can sometimes hear Jesus talk back to you. So you have that relationship with that entity. So that, In a really broad sense, and spirit mediumship is a very, very broad field, and there's all forms of mediumship. There's specialties, like the folks who can talk to people in the afterlife and have a dialogue with people that have crossed over. And my specialty is really just talking to all different kinds of spirits that interact and help us here in the third dimensional world, or spirits that have become bonded with one of my clients, so they're in a form of a healing crisis, or they're really sick of a certain pattern, and then the spirit, I can identify sometimes that the wound is being stirred up by a suffering spirit. So we can talk about that later, but then I'm able to speak to that spirit and create a healing process. So spirit mediumship, it really is complementary to the shamanic toolkit, and I'm sure that every shaman out there has many, many, many different spirits that they work with as guides and helpers. In my shamanic energy healing practice, I work with many different guides, and they have specialties. And so when a client has a particular type of thing, like I have a guide that's specialty is he does really great with curses, and he's also really, really good with physical issues. And he comes and works through me, and I'm super grateful to be able to work with these spirits, and it amplifies what I'm able to accomplish way beyond what I think just a normal human could do. And so I'm in gratefulness and awe at the helpers that come to work with me, you know, all the time. So that's a pretty long answer to spirit mediumship, but I wanted to throw a couple of examples in there about how that works.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I feel that, like I said, I feel that things are different now than they were, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, certainly when I was younger. And I feel that there is more respect, or we are more aware of connections with nature, You know, you were talking about walking outside and feeling the air. And I really believe that there is a shift that's happening. And I live in Portland, Oregon, and, you know, that was always a part of the country that people considered that's where the tree huggers lived. Well, you know, I don't think that it's concentrated here in the Pac Northwest anymore. I really believe that we're becoming more respectful and more conscious and aware of nature and Mother Earth, because this is where we live and everything is connected. It's like a forest. All the trees are connected with the roots. Well, each of us are connected in that same sense. Now, you also talk about how, you know, you help people, you know, maybe who are feeling run down and, you know, maybe they just need some motivation or some inspiration. So tell me a little bit about how you help those who maybe just need a boost of energy or need their energy fluffed somehow. So how do you help those that are in need?
Let's see, there's a couple different levels to this answer. One of the things I just would love to say to your audience here is how grateful I am to the people who are helping other people, and especially those folks like counselors and therapists and social workers. There are some people who are just, I consider, kind of on the front lines with the people who are going through so much stress and strife. And this is something that we're experiencing. We're going through some very unique times in the evolution of our planet right now. And people are feeling it. People are feeling it. People are going through an unprecedented types of stress and volume of stress. And so this is why it's a very deeply held passion of mine to keep those folks on the front line and to keep them passionate about their work and feeling strong, positive, joyful, and healthy about seeing clients day in and day out who are probably really suffering. And so there's a number of ways that I like to keep these practitioners strong and healthy and happy. And so I offer rejuvenation and motivation. One of the ways I help people is I've been teaching people my meditation so that they can drink and draw in energy from the universal and earth, the earth and the universe that are infinite sources of energy that we can draw upon to rejuvenate ourselves. And in a minute, I'd like to lead a little guided meditation for that. But I'm also educating people on energetic dynamics with clients and with other people that are really draining. And it could be as much, you know, one type of these dynamics is where we feel almost codependent with the client. We're drawn into them, so we're giving our energy away to the client that way. Sometimes clients will throw energy at us like anger, and we just get anger bombed, and we're just like, we get really beaten up by a client who's just got so much venting to do, and we don't know what to do with it. And another one is clients that are they're so sad and needy and impoverished that they're just pulling and clinging and trying to get anything they can out of anybody just to make themselves feel better. And so I'm actually in the process now, Linda, of writing some tips up for practitioners and people who see clients to develop some good energy habits, both to keep themselves rejuvenated in the way that I'll show in this meditation, but also to just a couple quick and easy things they can visualize to deflect some of these energy patterns from draining them. So it's kind of a two-pronged way of supporting in these particular things that I'm training people on. And then the third approach or the third thing that I offer is the sessions that I do, which helps people reclaim their inner strength. So I like to think, we've made reference to childhood difficulties and traumas. Well, our energy actually gets stuck back there when we go and we have a traumatic experience, maybe part of us doesn't grow up and our energy gets locked up in that trauma. And when we can heal that fully and completely, and it may not just be that you only need a shamanic healer. You may also need a qualified skilled therapist to help you get to some of this stuff. But I'm able to go to the root cause and heal everything around that early childhood scenario. And then what happens is that part of you grows up strong, healthy, happy into present time. And instead of having that part of you stuck at age 2.5, you've now grown that part of you as a strong, healthy, and whole part of you into present time, and you brought that resource online for you. I like to refer to these as discovering our fountains of youth, because, you know, there it is. It's happened in your youth, but it's a fountain of youth here to you in present time, because you can actually reclaim some of your youth, reclaim lost energy, reclaim your joyfulness that's underneath and locked behind that trauma, recover your innate, joyful, soulful spirit that is needed here in present time. Like, it's all hands on deck. We need all of our energies here in present time to go through these intense challenges that most of us are facing with this evolutionary process on the earth.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, you talk about these childhood wounds, so to speak. Do we even know that it's happening or that it has happened as an adult? Are we just kind of responding and responding in a way that is, you know, the wounded child is responding, but you don't even know that's happening.
Right.
So
that's right.
How do you find out what that situation is that's triggering them, or does it even matter what that situation is?
Well, what happens is clients will come to me and say they're just stuck about something. They've been over and over and over again with this pattern, and man, am I sick of it, and I can't seem to shake it. They're having trouble with motivation. They're having trouble with intimacy in their relationships. They're just stalled out in some way, some part of their lives. And we don't know. Nobody, you know, when I start the conversation, we don't know what that's from. But at the beginning of an energy healing session, they'll express, oh, I'm just done with this. I need support. I need help around this particular area. And when we open the temple without boundaries, and that is the safe and sacred energetic container, one of the spirits who works with me is a temple, so we can come back to that too. When I create that sacred space and I call in my clients' guides to assist me, they show me exactly where to look psychically in my client's system. And what it looks like to me is a sort of a wound. And the wounds can take a lot of different, they can show up in a lot of different ways. But what I look for is, where did that wound start? How did that wound get created? What caused that wound? And I'm shown, I'm able to kind of follow the story of that wound. And oftentimes we'll go back into a childhood memory that the client has no conscious recollection of, but they are able to put it in the, you know, in the context. After the session, we do a debrief, and they're able to put it into the context of what they know about their childhood, and it made sense. So it might be one client had food issues and was having a lot of trouble with exercising, and I discovered a memory where her parents were arguing in the kitchen over her. She was standing kind of in the middle listening to them yell and scream at each other, and there were all these food smells and the dinner was cooking. So there was all this like food memory, and it got locked up into that anger, the yelling. So those two sensations and experience got kind of bound up together in her memory. So it's no wonder the poor girl had food issues, you know. I go back and I'm able to just kind of calm and settle and provide healing to all the parties of that trauma, and bring back the parts to just kind of disconnect and unravel that concentration of beliefs, that combination of beliefs that, you know, food has this angst and trauma to it. And then when she grows up that part of her back into real life, she has a different relationship with food. It's oh, more free, yeah. It's more flexible. She has a healthier relationship with it. And that was another part of that session I won't go into, but then she was able to reclaim some of her motivation, and she felt lighter as soon as she got off the table, and then it persisted in her life as she carried on. So that's an example of how I kind of go back and find the story that occurred and then heal that story and bring that back into present time whole and rejuvenated. So, no, we don't really need to know, from my perspective, we don't always have a conscious memory of what occurred back then.
Mm-hmm.
But it can still be healed through the shamanistic methods.
Sure, sure. Well, you briefly mentioned the temple. Now, before we discuss the temple and before we discuss Temple Without Boundaries, if someone's listening right now and they're already interested in wanting to know more about you and the work that you do, how can they find more information about you and how can they get in touch with you?
Oh, great. Thanks, Linda, for that opportunity. And I would love to be in contact with any of the members of your fan club. And on my website is called templewithoutboundaries.com. And there is a tremendous amount of information on there about the energy healing work that I do. And there are also monthly group healing events. I call them teleceremonies, and you can join by phone or by web. And in those ceremonies, I lead people in usually a journey experience for being able to kind of purify themselves of energy that does no longer serves them and bring in energy that does serve them. And that's a kind of a larger theme, but one ceremony we did brought in a guide, and another ceremony helped us balance our masculine and feminine. So they have a lot of different topics. All of those replays are available on the website, as well as upcoming events. And then I wanted to let people know that there's an opportunity to get a complimentary mini session with me. So if you just want to talk about how this works and explore with me whether this is something that would assist you in your life, then write me an email at reverend@templewithoutboundaries.com, or you're welcome to give me a call at 512-394-8809. And just tell me that you'd like to schedule a mini session, and I will send you a link to get that scheduled and get that on my calendar.
Wonderful. What a great opportunity. So, folks, if you've been listening and anything that Reverend Octavia has said that you maybe see in your life or maybe you're feeling or you want to know more about, be sure to reach out to her. Again, that's Reverend, and it's spelled out. It's reverend@templewithoutboundaries.com. So on that note, talk to us a little bit about, you know, the temple and the Temple Without Boundaries.
Oh, I'd love to. When I lived in Oregon, I had a beautiful house, and I had a lot of events there. And every time we would have a community gathering, this is kind of this is the story of how the temple got born. I referred to my house as a temple because we had so many spiritual gatherings there and classes and all different kinds of things. And we would always create sacred space using the Wiccan tradition. We would call the directions and cast a circle and then get on about our ceremony. So over many, many years of doing this, and having all different kinds of ceremonies there, when it came time for me to, I needed to move to Austin, I sat down in my living room and called upon the temple, called upon the consciousness of my house, and had opened a dialogue with my house. And I said, you know, I'm going to have to go, and I am going to really miss you, and I think that people will be living here who will take care of you and tend you. And just out of the clear blue, I heard a voice just clear as a bell, take me with you. And that's when I became really formally introduced to the temple as a separate being, as a separate entity. So now I've been able to commune with her as a spirit and really get to know her. And she is a very, very unique spirit. She is able to create a safe and sacred circle around, and it just is independent of time and space, completely independent of time and space. So when I do the teleceremonies, everyone is really with me in the same room, no matter where they're sitting. I have a lady that joins from Mexico and people from California and Canada and just all over the place. It doesn't matter. We are all really here in a unified energetic field. So it really assists me. And then with clients, the temple opens and provides the safe and sacred space. I had in the same client session that I actually just talked about, a friend of hers, this was actually in a public setting, and I was a featured healer at a local store, and her friend tried to come up and say hi. She felt literally bounced off. She got repelled and couldn't get anywhere near us. And that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Because that operates not just in the physical third dimension, but in all the dimensions. The other unique feature about the temple is that she has access to sacred people, places, and things from all time, space, and dimension. So she is also, in addition to my other spirit guides, bringing me information and resources from all of those different arenas, everything she has access to. So I call her Temple Without Boundaries. As far as I can perceive, I cannot perceive the depth, the extent of her boundaries. So as far as I can tell, she does not have boundaries. There is, you know, possibly she does, but not to what I can perceive. So I'm very grateful and honored to be able to work with such a powerful spirit.
I love the name Temple Without Boundaries. It just creates a picture for me, a visual for me that is a very safe place. It's it feels very that it's no judging going on. That and like I said, it just feels very safe. I love the name alone.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's what the unifying principle in the community associated with the Temple Without Boundaries, and I'm creating an online community, and you are all welcome to join us, is the principle is divine love. And that's a very, very important thing for me. And I feel like that's the base note of that mysticism we referred to earlier, is divine love is the unifying principle throughout all consciousness, in my opinion. And so it doesn't matter which belief or faith you're from, as long as you're aligned with that principle of love, you're absolutely welcome to join us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, you mentioned earlier that you wanted to walk us through a meditation. Are you ready to do that?
Yeah, let's jump right into that. So
sounds good.
Okay, so I would ask people to get themselves in a very comfortable position right about now. And if you need to pause, if you're watching on replay, you might need to pause that for a sec and take some deep breaths into your body. So this is, I'm going to share with you, this is going to be kind of a quickie. And there are more extended versions of these meditations on my website in case you want the extended version. And take some really deep breaths. These are rejuvenation techniques. And focus first at the base of your spine. Take a really deep breath at the base of your spine. And then on your next exhale, imagine that you can extend a part of your body downward. And this part of your body is just very, very naturally kind of just, you know, just very naturally, this energy part of your body kind of dropping down. And it might be a tree root. It might feel like a beam of light. this extension of your body. You might just feel it. You may not see anything, and that's completely fine too. And a few people might hear something. But just know in your imagination that you're able to drop this grounding cord down through all the layers of the building that's underneath you, through the layers of rock and underground caverns and caves, all the way down into the warmer part of the, toward the center of the earth. And we're going to go through the molten lava and just very naturally and gracefully connect ourselves to the center of the earth. So this is a wonderful, warm and loving and receptive place. I like to think of the center of the earth as the source of nurturing and nourishment for our bodies. We're from the earth, we're made of the earth, and here she is receiving us into her heart space and connecting. We're connecting our bodies to the center of the earth. So feeling how that allows you to drain out any stress from your body, any tension, any anxiety, stress, any nerves. This is something you can do, especially at the end of your work day, but anytime you're feeling a little bit out of your body, a little bit needing, if you need calm, then drop your grounding cord down. And the earth can also call that part of your body down to you, down to herself. So now that you have that connection with the earth, leave your grounding cord in place and draw that earth energy up your grounding cord. So the earth energy traveling all around, all the length of your grounding cord, and then entering into the base of your spine, entering into your body. Again, this is very natural and graceful and easy because the earth energy has its own innate intelligence. It's a divine infinite source of energy, and it just naturally knows exactly where to flow into your body, where you most need support and assistance on the physical level. And you can feel your body filling up with this earth energy, your legs filling up, your hips, your stomach, your back, your chest, your shoulders, earth energy flowing down your arms and a little bit out the palm of your hands, filling your neck and your head with this earth energy. And so when you're doing this on your own, I would encourage you to really take some time with this and soak in all of this wonderful, wonderful earth energy. But we're going to move on to connecting to the universe now. And so at the top of your head, in the crown chakra, if you're familiar with the chakra system, the top of your head, take a breath there to focus your attention. And now imagine that a consciousness cord can flow out, a part of your consciousness can begin to flow out and rise out of the top of your head. And again, this could be a tree branch, if you want to go with the tree analogy. And this is rising up above you in the building that you're in and out into the atmosphere, crossing through all the clouds and then out of the earth's atmosphere. And now it's got a homing beacon. It knows exactly where to go, across all the reaches of space, past all the galaxies, to the central heart of the universe. So this can also be called the heart of God or the heart of the sun, just as you prefer, but I like to work with the heart of the universe. So your consciousness now connecting with that universal consciousness. And as we connect in with the universal consciousness, and maybe that universal consciousness calls us home and anchors that connection. So now our consciousness is connected with the universal consciousness. At the same time, our body is connected with the earth consciousness. And we begin to imagine drawing down that universal energy, that infinite divine intelligent source of rejuvenation energy from the universe. And it comes all the way down our consciousness cord, our consciousness connection, like a straw. We're drinking this down into the top of our head. And it can release our brain of any negative thought patterns, any outdated beliefs, and charge our sense organs, our eyes, our ears, our taste buds, our sense of smell, and flowing down into our neck and charging our spinal cord, our whole entire nervous system, and charging our blood and flowing down into our body and mixing with the earth energy, highly intelligent pattern, knowing exactly where we most need to be fed. And in this energy, again, if you can take your time with this meditation and drink this energy into your cellular structure, into your mitochondrial DNA, and all the way down into your subatomic particle level, and really, really rejuvenate yourself on those deep, deep, deep parts of yourself that you hardly ever think about, and let this intelligence of this energy just naturally rejuvenate you. So I'm kind of keeping up a pace here, but there's another really important technique that I want to show you. So focusing once again at the base of your spine and remembering that earth core, that grounding core to the earth is there at the base of your spine. What I'd like you to do now is bring that energy, that earth energy, up along your spine. And so ask it to do this and remember that it's intelligent and it's able to just do this kind of automatically with a little bit of your intention and your requesting. So flowing that earth energy all the way up your spine, to your upper back, upper neck. And then when you get to your head, it just goes to the center of your head, and it's going to actually rise out along your consciousness cord. So the earth energy now traveling along your consciousness cord and all the way out to the heart of the universe. And so at this point, you're a conduit between the heart of the universe and the heart of the earth. And this energy connection is flowing down your spine, flowing along your spine. So we're going to do the same thing with the universal consciousness energy. And we're going to bring that beam of consciousness energy right in parallel with the earth energy. And we're going to centralize that in the center of our head as it enters in the crown of the top of our head. And centered along the middle of our head and then down our spinal cord right along next to that earth energy. And traveling all the way down the spinal cord and down and out the base of your spine and all the way down to the center of the earth, down your grounding cord into the center of the earth with that universal energy. So now what you have are these two polarity energies, these highly intelligent divine energies running along your spine. So take a deep breath and now ask these energies to work their magic on your energy field to center your energy. So they're going to magnetize the energy in your energy field. So this would be your chakra system and your aura and your whole being now just being centered along your spine. So this is a state of energetic health that we've achieved here, where you're able to rejuvenate yourself and you're able to rejuvenate by releasing toxic energies and then filling up with really good, delicious, divine, intelligent energy and then centering along your spine feeds your chakra system and it provides us the opportunity to respond to situations instead of reacting to situations. So we will notice when we are thrown off center. Once we establish our centeredness, we will notice when anything throws us off center. And so these are three great tools to get used to. And if you can do it as quick or quicker than the way I led you here today, then it can almost become a protective force, a protective mechanism, a defense mechanism when you do feel any kind of negative energy coming your way. And Linda, there is a simple tool I'd like to share with people if we have just another minute.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So here's a really, really relevant tool. So if someone is, I called it an anger bomb earlier, if somebody is throwing a lot of toxic energy at you, and this kind of does also work for the neediness thing, but I call it a portal of compassion. So imagine that this is kind of right outside you have a space bubble around you, and we call it our aura, but imagine that there's this round portal, magical portal, that's forming kind of outside of your aura, so maybe 2 or 3 feet outside your aura. For me, I just always put it on my upper right side, kind of near my head. I don't know why. That's where it always goes when I create this. So I call this a portal of compassion. And what you need to know about the portal of compassion is directly connected to the heart of the universe. So the heart of the universe is in the center of this portal of compassion. And the heart of the universe being able to transmute and transform any sort of negative energy, it's again, with its intelligence. So now imagine you've got a really angry person sitting in front of you, and they are venting. Complain, gripe, grump, moan, all kinds of swear words. And what you can do is create this portal of compassion. Normally, all that energy would be directed at you, and you'd be like wincing and trying to duck and trying to protect yourself. So imagine that all of that energy is just flowing directly into the portal of compassion instead. So it's bypassing you altogether. Mm-hmm. You are just staying centered and grounded and connected and rejuvenating yourself with the earth and universal energies. And with this portal of compassion tool, you are allowing them to vent all that awful, awful energy that they've got stirred up in them. And it's going directly into a place that is able to take care of it. So it's not polluting your system. And so, Linda, I wanted to share this really simple tool with people because this is a great tool for anyone that's dealing with very toxic situations, toxic clients, people who are having a lot of mental instability or a lot of trauma in their life. So you can just direct all of the stuff that they are venting right into that portal of compassion.
Well, I love that tool, yeah. Reverend Octavia, because it is many times it's not about us, and we just happen to be the
right
ones standing in front of them.
Exactly.
They need to vent. So, you know, allowing that to happen and allowing it to just be sucked up into this portal that is, and I love the term portal of compassion, because if we take it on ourselves, it's really hard for us to be compassionate for someone who's blowing up on us, who is this anger bomb in front of us in the moment. So it's almost like you just step aside and just let all that energy be sucked up, and you go unscathed pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And mm-hmm. What's even better about this is that when they start feeling better because they've vented all this stuff and you still have an open mm-hmm. heart and you're still serene and placid sitting in front of them, they attribute their healing and their feeling better, they attribute that to you. So it has like all of these positive benefits. As a practitioner, doing this saves you a lot of time, stress, and energy, and then gets you these brownie points with these clients who just see you as their savior because they feel better when you're there.
Oh, my goodness. I just love that. I really do. Well, you've shared some great tools for us, and these are tools that certainly the practitioner can use. I can also see that they can be used in everyday life, whether it's any kind of relationship that you're in, whether it is husband, wife, children, mother, father, and in the employer, being out with clients. So I can certainly see where it could be used by just anyone, not just practitioners, but especially practitioners who deal with people and their pain on a daily basis. That's why they're going to a practitioner, is because they're in pain. So they could certainly be a target, and their client doesn't mean to hurt them, but it's part of the process, isn't it, to have letting go of some of the things that have been hurting them for a long time.
There are just these couple of simple tools, and staying centered is another huge one. And I have one other tool as well. And if people are interested to get the write-up of these techniques that I shared today, as well as with some pictures to go with it, and it's going to be an updated version that has the pictures, but they're welcome to come, and when they sign up for my email list, and that is automatically sent to them, so they don't, it would be in writing, and they don't have to listen to the replay over and over and over again just for this particular piece with the tools.
That's great. And they would go to sign up for that on your website, which is templewithoutboundaries.com. So if
you're
interested in getting the step-by-step write-ups on some of the tools that Reverend Octavia has just shared with us today, be sure to go to her website. Again, that's templewithoutboundaries.com. If you want to reach out to Reverend Octavia directly, it's Reverend, and that's spelt out, reverend@templewithoutboundaries.com. Reverend, it's been just such a pleasure to have you on the show, and the time just flies when you're in spirit like that. It just flies. Now, I do want to take a few minutes to ask you those final three questions. So if you're ready, we can look at those. So the first question is, when faced with obstacles, what keeps you going?
Well, it probably won't be too surprising that I turn to my spiritual resources. And I'm thinking, when I saw this question was going to be asked me, I was thinking back when I was going through my divorce, and it was such a difficult time, I called upon a goddess named Kali from the Hindu tradition. And Kali is very fierce, and so she was able to protect me, and she was also kind of slicing through the veils of illusion with her knives. And a lesser-known fact about Kali is that she is a mother, and so while the slicing with the knives is kind of a tough love, Kali is also very maternal and very nurturing. And so I had a practice for quite a few months there of singing her chant, and that really comforted me. It just allowed me to put one step in front of the other as I went through that really, really difficult experience.
And we all go through those periods of time where it's difficult. That is part of what our experience here on Earth as a human is all about, is how it's not about living an easy life. It's more about living the life and being able to work through whatever comes your way, whatever those obstacles are, whatever those uncomfortable situations are, and how you learn from that and move on. So the next question is, other than a coach, who has influenced you the most?
Well, I have a really, really close friend named Amethyst, and Amethyst Susan Brown, and she lives there in Oregon, and she's been my best friend for over 10 years, and she's one of my strongest mentors. She and her husband, Sander Feinberg, who is a phenomenal photographer and a Kabbalah master and a Tibetan Buddhist for like 40 years or something, they're just amazing people. They've been studying their spirituality since they were little kids, and we've gotten so many initiations and know so many things and are so open psychically that anything that I stub my toe on, I can ask, and Amethyst she just helps me. We help each other, but she's given me a lot of great advice and kept me on track more times than I can count. And we've done a lot of public ceremony together, a lot of priestessing and initiation. So she is just, oh, a dear, dear soul sister. Very grateful for her.
Mm-hmm. And it's always good to have that spiritual bond with someone who understands you and also wants you to be the best you that you can be and mm-hmm. allows you to be that and encourages you to be more. So that's lovely, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So the next question is there one thing that you wish you had known early on that would have saved you time or money that you'd like to share with our listeners?
You know, I gave this one some thought, Linda, and I would have to say that really getting to know what happened in your childhood, really getting clear on mm-hmm. that. I've just right. recently came to light last year something really, really important about my childhood that explained so much about my life that I had been in the dark about. And once you understand that you know what happened in your childhood, you can begin to understand how you became who you are. And that's where the riches lie, I believe. And I mentioned earlier that you can discover your joyfulness again once you clear those childhood issues. So it takes a little while to get through all of it, but then you're free. Then you're free to live the rest mm-hmm. of your life without those shackles and bonds and to be in your pure, joyful spirit.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I really believe that going back to your childhood is almost like a flashlight, because you go back and you're able to shine the light on those areas.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't always have to be emotional, but it mm-hmm. shines a light on something that's been in the dark. And when you shine the light on it, it's like, oh, yeah, I get it. And it's like you said, it's that puzzle piece that makes so many things make sense.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. And yeah. I love that analogy of the flashlight. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
The courage
yeah.
in the darkness.
Yeah.
The light in the darkness.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you again for being on Empower Radio Show. And I really look forward to getting more information and participating in some of your teleceremonies, the exercises that you did today. Were very simple, but I felt I feel very energized from them. It was, I've
Wonderful.
Been through many types of meditations, but I loved this where it connected and you being the conduit of all of that. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a really beautiful ceremony. I appreciate you sharing that
mm-hmm.
with everyone.
My pleasure.
Is there anything that you would like to say to our listeners before we end the show?
Oh, I just want to extend my open heart to you and welcome you into the temple and welcome you into a deeper relationship with me and with the community of the temple. And I really look forward to meeting you. And anything I can do to support you, to help you be stronger in your life, then please don't hesitate to give me a call.
Mm, wonderful. And again, folks, you can get more information about Reverend Octavia and the meditations that she offers on the website. And again, that's templewithoutboundaries.com. So be sure to check that out. You know, I always leave everyone with a thought of the day. And this one's very simple, but it kind of ties into what we were talking about today. And this is a quote by Eckhart Tolle. And he says, "One conscious breath in and out is a meditation." So again, don't think that meditation has to be something that is done by other people, or you have to do it in groups, or that it is more complicated than just a simple in and out breath and just being conscious of that breath. That is meditation. So again, folks, thanks so much for joining me on Empower Radio. And I look forward to hearing from you. If there's a topic that you would like to hear, if there is someone that you would like to have on the show, be sure to send me an email. And that's Linda at EmpowerRadioShow@gmail.com. Thanks so much.
As we close our show today, we want you to know it's time. The time is now for you to cast off the chains of mediocrity and reach for that brass ring. The time is now for taking that giant leap to start a business. Step out of your comfort zone and become the you that you've always dreamed of being. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Empower Radio Show. That's at MPOWERRADIOSHOW. Thank you for being with us today on the Empower Radio Show.